This is a true saying and worthy of all men to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. For many who identify themselves as Christian, these eight words cover the entire waterfront of theology. He came into the world to save sinners. What exactly does St. Paul mean? What is a sinner? Is it someone who has broken God's law? For the second largest group of Christians on earth, this definition fails. A sinner is not someone who violates God's statutes. Then what exactly is sin? Of equal concern, how is one saved from it? These are not light questions, for all Christians will agree that everything depends on getting this right. To get our bearings, let us begin at the beginning, in the first chapter of Genesis. And let us ask the first question of theology: who is God? That is, what is his nature? We can never, of course, really know yet. He has revealed himself to us to an extent that he has deemed right. And by this fact, he has called us to our duty, which is to know him within these set bounds. The first verb in the Holy Scriptures is to create. Our God is above all a creative God. He alone is being. Ego sum qui sum, the infinitive of the verb to be, referring only to itself through a relative pronoun, which is him. Unfathomable depths of pure creative energy. He alone is being, while his myriad creatures have being, a gift from his creative mind. His marvelous nature is to create. Being a lover of beauty, he has surrounded us with his unsurpassed masterworks. No artist, artisan, or craftsman might approach his ingenious art. His textures and fragrances and forms and sweet sounds. No artist might even begin to create an animate, living art such as his. He reveals himself in these countless creations. And among these, literary art has been singled out for particular importance. He does not simply create light, but brings it about through holy words. Not fiat lux, but rather deus dixit fiat lux. And what comes next is mind-blowing. The Nobel laureate in physics, Arno Penzias, told me that the first instances of Genesis are a, quote, precise though poetic description of the Big Bang theory. Yet God did not create the world with a series of physical acts, according to the prologue of St. John, but rather he wrote a cosmic poem from a divine word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. For reasons never made clear, it is essential that Adam should name the other creatures, becoming co-author with God. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Do you see that the interweaving of the name, what he called, the words, somehow are one and the same with the actual creation of these creatures. Manifestly, God is focused upon our creative acts. He has given the earth to humankind, Psalm 115, 16. And the fate of the world hangs upon what we say and do. It is for this reason alone that he must abide human evil. Even the enormities of the 20th century, with whole cultures and peoples being exterminated, with weaponized viruses loosed into the world in an unprecedented pandemic, and watching the slow destruction of his beloved creation, the earth. For he will not abridge his gift to us of sovereign freedom. It is this gift which enables us to become like him. Anything less renders his marvelous living creation no more than a puppet show or a miasma of robots and automatons. In this, we gain a precious glimpse into the nature of his gift of salvation. He made us good and wishes us to fulfill that goodness, but he cannot force us to be good without rendering his creation lifeless. He therefore teaches us and leads us and points us in the right direction, just as we have been pointed in the wrong direction by less salutary influences. Chief among his influencers is his son, the Logos, simultaneously a creative man and the creative God. Mysteriously and from the beginning, God directs us to be co-authors as Adam was. Literature among his creative gifts is to play a primary role here, to inspire, to teach, and to exercise our moral faculties. We might say, why else do we read books? Why else do we watch edifying movies? If not for these reasons. Literature is, by its nature, literature is, by its nature, an echoing song, wrote Andrew Marvel. With one literary work resonating down through the caverns and labyrinths of the works that follow. Deep calls to deep. Indeed, the power of literature arises from the cumulative effect of all literature, with words and sentences from masterpieces echoing down through later masterpieces. How then is God to touch the hearts living in a first century Hellenized world, if not through its culture? Indeed, language itself is thickly embedded with cultural artifacts. And the Son of God drew on the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible whenever he cited scripture, Werner Jaeger. When we say Hellenized, we certainly mean Palestine with its classical Greco-Roman temples, statues, and agoras. Its soaring temple to the Roman emperor at Caesarea Maritima, one of the great harbors of the ancient world, could be seen from far out at sea, announcing that the gateway to Asia belonged to Caesar. Classical monuments to kings and pagan gods were scattered throughout Judea. At the headwaters of the Jordan, at the 10 cities of the Decapolis, and throughout the crossroads of the ancient world where major trade routes to Europe, Asia, and Africa intersected. In Jerusalem, where the dominant language was Greek, children of the wealthy were trained at gymnasiums and steeped in paideia, the classical education of philosophy, mathematics, literature, and rhetoric, to name a few. How else could affluent citizens of Jerusalem be expected to function in Roman society? Even Judean tax collectors were members of the equestrian class, just below the senatorial class. This echoing song is heard by the well-educated Saul of Tarsus, who encounters the risen Christ on the Damascus Road. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Acts 9:5, 22:8, 26:15. The reference, the quotation occurs three times in the book of Acts, is to one of the most profound of all secular writers, either in the past or today, Aeschylus. In particular, the scene in his play Agamemnon, where Oceanus advises Prometheus, quote, "But thou, not yet brought low by suffering, to what thou hast of ill wouldst add far worse. Therefore, while thou hast me for schoolmaster, thou shalt not kick against the pricks." The general background is significant. The Greek god Prometheus had come to the aid of humans by bringing the divine spark of fire to earth. But this gift of fire, instead of redeeming humans, only served to propel them toward greater evils. Oceanus tells Prometheus that by continuing to defy heaven's will, he is kicking against the pricks. That is, he has chosen a path through briars and can only injure himself by striving against them further. St. Paul will write a letter that God has written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. That is, God has etched his mysteries upon the human imagination from the time of Adam and upon all humans and all cultures and all historical eras. How else is our God a consuming fire to stir the divine flames within us, if not through our own culture? God brings his own fire to the aid of humanity. "You are the light of the world," Jesus announces to us. The Western saint, Catherine of Siena, replies, "Be who God made you to be, and you will set the world on fire." The divine fire of God, or the searing heat of hell, these mark the outer limits of our creative freedom and point ahead to our final dwelling places. The burning point of our freedom of choice is described using the metaphor of a target. We are saved or we are destroyed by either hitting the mark or missing it. The Greek philosophers and tragedians, such as Aeschylus, had a word for this, hamartainen, which means missing the mark. It is the tragic flaw within us which might lead men away from paradise and into hell. And this points us back to St. Paul. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The original Greek standing behind these words concludes our meditation this morning. Christos Jesus, eothen, eis ton kosmos, hamartulos, sutsa. That is, Jesus came down to earth because we had missed the mark, hamartulos. We were headed toward eternal destruction. So he came to guide us, to avert the coming disaster, which he could plainly foresee. The word save here, sotsai, meaning to rescue, means to rescue from danger or destruction. That is, destruction has not yet come. But should we continue on the path we are on, it surely will come. You see, safe here signifies guidance, a steering a way. This is not rescue say, from flames engulfing a burning house. This is not firemen coming in to lift us off our beds of fire. This is guidance, counseling us not to play with fire in the first place. To return to the example of literature, this is not a resting back on a pillow so God can read us a bedtime story. This is co-authorship. Jesus came into the world to show us the way to cooperate with him. And what exactly is this way? Chiefly, he says, it is love, and especially a life offered to others. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13. Far from our simply receiving love from a rescuer, we are to be his agents of love, of sacrifice, of giving of ourselves. Without question, his death and resurrection show us the way through high mountains to heaven. We might say hazardous mountains. But it is not his death that is the divine fire he brings to humanity. His death cannot and will not bring the filthy, evil man to heaven. For our God is holy. His divine fire and gift to humanity is his creative life. This is the target. This is the bullseye. And he implores us to get hold of ourselves, lest we miss the mark. This is God's grace and his gift and his kindly leading. We must not fail to receive it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.